Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Lauder Podcast. My name is Edward, and today I'm with Johanna. Johanna is a second-year student in the Chinese track here at Lauder, and we'll be discussing her Global Knowledge Lab project today. Hi, Johanna. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. Before we begin, though, could you just introduce yourself a little bit, give us some background, how you came to Lauder?
Sure. My name is Johanna. Before coming to Wharton, I worked for a Korean company for 5 years. I worked in Asia for a total of 5 years as well, 3 years in Korea and 2 years in China. I was interested in the Lauder program, especially since it's a great way to combine an MBA with my interest in international studies.
Right. That makes sense, given the Lauder curriculum is designed, certainly. Right, so GKLs, Global Knowledge Labs. When did you start working on the Global Knowledge Lab?
I guess I probably must have started working on it second semester last year during the capitalism class because I started focusing in on my topic and started gathering data about it.
And what is your topic?
My topic is I was in the female entrepreneur group. And specifically, I was interested in interviewing a female entrepreneur in the ethnic Korean autonomous region of China. And so I started doing research second semester last year on the Korean autonomous region in China and economic development in ethnic minority regions in China in general.
Sounds very interesting. Who are you working with on the project?
We were working with Mauro, and the project is also sponsored by the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Women's Initiative.
Could you discuss what that
Sure.
is?
The initiative is designed to educate female entrepreneurs in developing countries. And so what we're doing in this GKL is to write cases about female entrepreneurs in developing countries that can be potentially used in the 10,000 Women Initiative classes. And they take place all around the world, you know, in the country of the entrepreneurs.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's sponsored by Goldman Sachs?
Correct.
So this seems like a very esoteric topic to choose for your GKL. How did you come about choosing ethnic minority region female businesses?
Well, that's a good question. Actually, my undergraduate major was Asian studies, and I focused on Korea. So since I'm on the Chinese track now at Lauder, I wanted to do a topic where I could combine those two different interests. So I was very interested in the Korean minority region in China to begin with. And I was also very interested in minority regions in China as well. And with the Wharton side, you know, business, entrepreneurship. So this topic really combined a variety of interests that I've had for a long time.
Do you speak Korean?
Yes.
Oh, so that must have helped as well. Or did you primarily conduct your interviews in Korean or Chinese?
Both. We mostly spoke with the entrepreneur in Korean, but some of her employees are Chinese, so we spoke to them in Chinese.
How long did you spend in China doing your research?
About 10 days.
Okay. So you traveled previously to China with Lauder during the summer immersion program, I would assume then.
That's
as
right.
Well.
Yeah. But that was very different. Yeah.
Right. That's the beginning of your first year to more or less try to master the language or get to know the language.
Yeah. Right. And what I was referring to is that for the summer immersion, we go to major metropolitan areas. So when I went there, we went to Shanghai and Beijing. And, you know, the Korean minority region is a much more rural kind of place. It has quite a different feeling and very different economic profile as well.
Definitely. That not, right, 2 million people compared to the...
yeah, that's probably one neighborhood in Beijing.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. So the Global Knowledge Labs sort of integrate a number of the different language tracks to work on a common project. Right. What other languages are involved in this?
Well, in the case of this Global Knowledge Lab, the different groups are working quite independently. But we had some people go to Brazil. We had someone go to Chile. We even had someone go to the Easter Islands. So there's all different language tracks involved.
Wow. What is the sort of the goal of this Global Knowledge Lab in particular?
of this Global Knowledge Lab in particular? Well, it's to write the cases for the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Women.
So ultimately you'll have a written body of work.
Yeah, of about, I guess, maybe 10 cases to contribute to the cases that they already have that they're using.
Where have you gone to conduct your research?
So I went to the Korean Autonomous Region in north eastern China. It's in Jilin Province, and it's a small area. Well, small for China. It's about the size of Belgium. And I was in the capital, which is called Yanji. And the woman that I studied is a maker of traditional Korean clothes. And she's the number one, she has a small factory. She's the number one producer of traditional Korean clothes in the Korean Autonomous Region of China.
Wow. So is Chinese spoken there primarily, or Mandarin, or?
Actually, since it's, so the, in China's autonomous regions, there's officially a bilingual policy. So all store signs have to be both in Chinese and in the minority language. So it's a very interesting, incredibly unique place with this interesting fusion of Korean and Chinese cultures. So she speaks Chinese and Korean as well. It seems that most of the ethnic Koreans, they speak Korean at home and with their Korean friends. But outside, you know, they have to use Chinese sometimes when people don't speak Korean.
That makes sense. So how has your work here at Lauder and your classes here at Lauder helped you with your work, with your research?
Well, in a few different ways. So as I mentioned, I started preparing my research during the capitalism class last spring, and I wrote my final paper about economic development in the Korean Autonomous Region since reform and opening for that class. So that paper gave me a good background context to understand my entrepreneur and the environment that she works in. And of course, you know, the Chinese classes prepare us to discuss business topics in Chinese, so that's invaluable as well.
Definitely, if you have to conduct your research in Chinese primarily, I would imagine. Does your research fit in with what you ultimately want to do after Lauder?
It fits in the long-term kind of sense. You know, this region is very specific, and it's a small, economically underdeveloped region. Ultimately, I would love to be able to, contribute to Chinese economic development in this region in particular. But it's not a short-term goal. I mean, to move there, there's no MBA jobs there.
Right. So do you have, what is your short-term goal then?
I'm looking at for a general management rotational program.
Okay. So could you discuss a little bit about this particular case you mentioned earlier, the woman who makes the traditional Korean clothes? Could you talk about that?
Sure. So she started her business in the 90s, and she started off just by sewing clothes herself, and she loved embroidery. So she got into making traditional clothes because she saw it as a sort of canvas for showing off her embroidery skills. And she grew from there, from being a one-person business to now having a factory and employing about 80 people. She also has embroidery done in North Korea. And she's been recognized by the government on numerous occasions, and she even had a fashion show in Paris. So she's considered a little bit of a local celebrity.
Success story. Yeah, definitely. She has been recognized by the Chinese government or the North Korean government?
The Chinese government.
Chinese government. Is it common for a lot of businesses in that area to have relations with North Korea?
Not so much. The North Korean economy is quite closed off, although there is, you know, the cross-border trade, but it is, I think it's, you know, she mentioned her unique identity as an ethnic Korean minority living in China as an advantage for her business, since she can do business with both North Korea and South Korea, which is impossible for someone who's South Korean or North Korean.
Right. So what is her primary market?
Her primary market is the Korean Autonomous Region. But she does also sell some unfinished products to South Korea. So it's kind of like an OEM. Mm-hmm. She might sell, fabric. It's cut and partially sewn, but not completely finished, since the sizing needs to be adjusted based on the final, consumer, things like that.
How long has she been doing this? You said she grew from, I guess, one person to 80 yeah. people. How long did that take her?
Well, she started in the 90s, so about...
So 10, 15 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of women entrepreneurs in this region?
I think China has a fair amount of female entrepreneurs. In this region in particular, I'm not so sure. She mentioned that it was challenging and that she did face a little bit of opposition from her family in the beginning. She told me an interesting story, which is that her brother immigrated to the United States. And one day he was reading a local Korean newspaper in the United States and saw an article about her. And he called her up and said, why are you in the newspaper? Yeah. You should be living a quiet life. And, instead of being very pleased, he was a little bit, judging her for that. So
maybe a little envy there.
That could be too.
Yeah, that's interesting. So it's definitely outside the traditional realm then for this community to,
definitely,
for,
yeah.
to be a female entrepreneur. How did you find out about this, about her business?
Actually, my advisor, Mauro, helped me. We also had a research assistant, and so the research assistant came up with a list of a few different potential contacts, and I chose her as the best one. I think her product is very unique, too, though, because it's connected to Korean culture, but yet she's in China, so there's an interesting, yeah. I was interested in how she sells this, cultural product in the minority region.
Yeah, and how much would she be able to sell? Yeah, that, have you answered that?
Well, she's definitely successful.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a market. There's, the region has 2 million people.
So there's definitely a market, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a big enough market. She actually has quite a number of competitors, and the competition can be quite fierce. China
really?
Doesn't always
yeah.
have a very strong rule of law. So, and I think the clothing industry is definitely susceptible to imitation in any case. So she's had,
sure.
She mentioned to me that she won't put her newest designs in the store showroom window, because when she used to do that, all of the traditional clothing stores around this capital city of the province would have her design within a week.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So it's, you're used to, going down to New York or something and seeing knockoffs of all the American designers. And I guess it's the same premise in minority regions in China.
That's right.
Interesting. So sort of a universal thing, maybe. So... What sort of resources has Lauder provided you to do your research?
Our advisor was extremely helpful, and he provided a lot of advice about how to approach the subject, how to do interviews. I also reached out to different professors that I know in the School of Arts and Sciences to discuss what's the best way to do this. So, for example, a professor in the anthropological department gave me a different angle on how to conduct this kind of research. So that was really interesting. Of course, Lauder sponsors the travel, and they also provided me with a recorder so that I could record my interviews, mm-hmm. and there was a research assistant, so there were lots of resources
yeah.
that were very useful.
So a very interdisciplinary project as well. So you've spoken with anthropologists and
definitely.
And business people and all sorts of areas. Well, thank you for coming today. I enjoyed our conversation.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Lauder Podcast. For previous episodes, you can go to our page on the iTunes Store. And to find out more information about the Lauder program, please visit our website at lauderinstitute.org. We're also on Twitter at twitter.com/lauderinstitute. I'm Edward, and this has been another episode of the Lauder Podcast.